take you there. Isaac Watts wrote the following words that we'll be singing at the close of our service this morning, but he asked this question: am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? You know, Isaac Watts knew what it was to be a soldier of the cross, even though he asked that question. He was born into a family of dissenters. That is, he was born in England, and they had a state church, but his family did not participate in the state church. And so they were often the target of persecution. Matter of fact, when Isaac Watts was born, his father was in prison because of his faith and because of preaching and holding to the principles of God's Word that he believed in. So he understood what it was to have to fight and to be in a battle and to be a soldier of the cross. But, you know, as believers, we are in a battle in this world. That battle has many fronts. As I was thinking about this and thinking what the Scripture has to say, we're in a battle for the purity of the gospel. As Jude was writing to believers, he said, I wanted to write about the common salvation, but he said it was necessary for me to write and to exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. And so there's a battle for the purity of the gospel, and there's a battle for the proclamation of the gospel. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8, Paul had to admonish Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord nor of me as prisoner, but to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And Paul was in prison, even as he writes this letter to Timothy, for preaching the gospel, proclaiming the gospel. Yet today we don't have to deal with that so much. There is a battle that takes place for us even in the proclamation of the gospel, but not to the extent that nobody's being imprisoned today for preaching the gospel. There is opposition to it. There are those who would like to silence us, but up to this point, we don't have to face the opposition that the Apostle Paul and others have faced and others around the world are facing today. But there is still opposition. And so it's a battle to proclaim the gospel. And then we are in a battle against sin to maintain purity in our lives. We're to take to ourselves the whole armor of God that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And so we have this constant battle that goes on. You know, sometimes maybe we feel it more intensely than others, but we are all who know Christ as Savior, we are in a battle. And the question that we need to ask ourselves this morning is the question that Isaac Watts asked: am I a soldier? Am I a soldier of the Lord? And on one hand, the answer to that question is yes. If you are a believer, you are a soldier. In verse 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, as Paul is encouraging Timothy in this matter of being in the battle, he said, you know, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Timothy, you have been chosen to be a soldier. When you got saved, like it or not, you were chosen to be a soldier. You entered into that battle with all of its different fronts. That's a part of your life as a believer. Whether you like it or not, you are a soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. So really the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning is not are we soldiers, because we are, but are we good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I would note, first of all, that a good soldier of the Lord is one who is strengthened by the Lord. In verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Literally, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, receive your strength from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about grace. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And we know grace is God's unearned favor, His unmerited favor. And we know, according to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, that we're saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can never work our way to heaven. We can never earn salvation. I'm going to steal Joe's thunder. He shared something with me this week I thought was pretty good. And somebody asked, what do I need to do to be saved? And the answer was, it's too late. Jesus did it all. There's nothing you can do to be saved except trust, take, receive the gift of salvation that God offers to you. We're saved by grace. It's a free gift, the unmerited favor of God. But we also live by grace. We don't stop experiencing, receiving grace when we get saved. God's grace continues to help us. Paul would write in 2 Corinthians 12:9 as he battled that thorn in the flesh, and he wanted God to take it away, and God said, no, I'm not going to take it away, but my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, I'm not going to take the thorn away. I'm going to give you grace to be able to endure that thorn in the flesh. Paul would write of his ministry in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul said, my ministry is carried on in the grace of God, in the power, the grace that God gives. And we read in Hebrews 4:16 that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We continue to need the grace of God in our lives as believers. Not just in salvation, but every day that we live. And a good soldier realizes that if he's going to be victorious on any front, he has to have God's strength. That he can't fight and win in his own strength. Paul would write to the Philippian church, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fight that battle against sin. Fight that battle against your flesh. Work out your own salvation, but it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You respond to the grace of God, to the work of God in your life as you fight that battle against sin. You do so in the power of God, responding to the grace of God, to the urgings of God and the power that God gives. You don't do it in your own strength. Even as Paul would write about putting on the whole armor of God, he began that discussion by saying, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, put on the whole armor of God. Yes, you've got to put on the armor. You have a responsibility in that battle. But you're to be strong in the Lord. You're to fight the battle in the power that God gives. We sang Stand Up for Jesus, and one verse of that song says, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. We go out to do battle against sin and we try to do it in our own strength, we will fall flat on our faces. We are not capable of winning that battle in and of ourselves. We have to fight. But we have to understand that we depend upon God. Paul would write in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul, how is it that you can be content in all the circumstances of life, good or bad? How do you do that? What are you, some super saint? No, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How is it that you can have that contentment? He said, it's not me. It's the grace of God. It's the strength of God that enables me to accept my circumstances, whatever they are, with joy. Paul would write of his ministry as he's writing to the Corinthian church and proclaiming the gospel and edifying the saints. And he would say, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, but God is the one who gave the increase. The results of my ministry are not what I have done, but what God has done. I preached the gospel. Apollos has come along and helped in that and watered the gospel. But God is the one who has enabled that gospel to bear fruit. Jesus wrote in John 15:4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Reading a biography of a man named James Frazier. He was a missionary with the China Inland Mission, ministering to the Lai Su people of southwest China. His story is written by Geraldine Taylor, who was Hudson Taylor's daughter-in-law, in a book entitled Behind the Ranges. But part of his ministry in China was to preach the gospel on the streets, and he says very candidly that it's not something that his flesh enjoyed. It's not something that he just wanted to run out there and do. And yet he had a strong urging of the Spirit. He wrote about a time when he was utterly disinclined, he said, to go and stand up on a stool in the street and preach to an indifferent crowd. And yet he said, I felt a strong inner compulsion to do so that I could not resist. He said, it's like so much pent-up gospel inside of you which must have an outlet. He said, for 2 days he resisted the urge, but finally he had to give in and he went out to the main street and preached the gospel. This done, he said, I was as happy as could be. Now listen to this. It's a fine thing to have God call you to work with Him, isn't it? But finer still, I think, to have Him make you do it. Frazier was saying, you know what? I didn't go out there of my own self. God stirred my heart so much that I couldn't help but go out and proclaim the gospel. He said, I didn't do that in my own strength. It was the grace of God. I was being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that's how I was able to do that. He tells the story of a Mrs. Lee who came to Christ. Her husband was an opium smoker. She had 11 children, but only one of her sons lived to grow up. But he too was an opium smoker, and so her life was full of hardship and suffering. Listen to her testimony. She said, I used to be anxious and worried about all these things besides being angry and resentful at the way I am treated. But it is not so now. If I begin to feel that way, I just turn to God and He brings back peace to my heart. How do you overcome the feelings of resentment and anger at the way you're treated? Well, I just make up my mind. I'm not going to let this bother me. No, she said, I just turn it over to the Lord. And He gives me peace. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Growing in the Lord is coming to recognize our utter dependence upon Him. Matter of fact, as Paul writes, be strong in the Lord. It is literally keep on being strengthened in the Lord. It's something that we have to receive over and over and over again. The grace of God, the strength of God, just all the time, God enabling us. It was a Sunday afternoon in the city of Chicago in the year of 1893, and Pastor Henry Varley, Evangelist D.W. Whittle, Will Moody, who was D.L. Moody's son, and May Whittle Moody, who was the daughter of Evangelist D.W. Whittle and the wife of Will Moody. They were all walking along talking about the blessings they had received from an earlier service. In the midst of that conversation, Henry Varley stated, we sang a song this morning that I know is a favorite of many, but you know, I feel that instead of singing, I need thee every hour, we should have a song that really shows our dependence upon God every moment of the day. Well, the evangelist D.W. Whittle was a gifted hymn writer as well as an evangelist, and immediately his mind began to compose a song with that theme, and the result was the hymn, Moment by Moment. Never a trial that He is not there. Never a burden that He doth not bear. Never a sorrow that He doth not share. Moment by moment, I'm under His care. Never a weakness that He does not feel. Never a sickness that He cannot heal. Moment by moment, I follow His will. Jesus, my Savior, abides with me still. Moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus, till glory doth shine. Till I die, I'll need that moment by moment help of God. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am Thine. That's what Paul told Timothy. Moment by moment, be strengthened by the Lord. That's how you fight the battles and win the battles. Not in your own strength, but in the power of God. A good soldier is strengthened by the Lord, but he is also separated to the Lord. Paul told Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 4 that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that chosen him to be a soldier. He doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of life because his desire is to please the Lord. That word entangle means to be wrapped up with something so that your movements or your work is hindered. Don't be entangled with the affairs of this life, a business or an occupation. Timothy, you're a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let life get in the way of serving Jesus Christ. Don't let life get in the way of being in the battle. You know, for all of us who know Christ as Savior, our primary concern should be to serve the Lord at all costs, to be putting Him first. And so we should stop doing anything that hinders us from serving the Lord. And that, by the way, that's not just for preachers. That's for all believers. That we have to constantly be evaluating our life and our involvement in the things of this world. There are legitimate things that we must do and we must be involved in as far as this world is concerned. I mean, we have business that we have to carry on. You work and you've got that. You've got family to take care of. There's so many things that are legitimate parts of our lives. There are things that, you know, we enjoy doing, hobbies and activities that we like to get involved in, things that are legitimate in and of themselves, and there's no problem with those things. But we always have to be evaluating, how are those things impacting my life for the Lord Jesus Christ and my ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ? Because we're all called to be ministers of Jesus Christ. We're not all called to do that full time, but we are all called to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has to be our first priority. And so no matter what we do to make a living, we ought to live to serve the Lord. In some cases that will mean that God will call us away from a secular vocation, a secular job, to go into ministry full time. But even if He doesn't do that, serving the Lord ought to be our main business. That His business ought to be our primary business. And again, that anything in our life that is hindering us from our walk with God and our fellowship with God, anything that is hindering us from being victorious in the battle against sin, anything that is hindering us from being involved in getting out the gospel to those that are lost, anything that is hindering us in any way from fighting the battle and serving the Lord Jesus Christ should be put out of our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What things? Food, clothing, the necessities of life. And again, most often God supplies those things through our work, through our jobs and our labor. But Jesus said, listen, don't worry about how you're going to take care of all this. Don't worry about where you're going to live or how you're going to have clothes to wear or car to drive or food on the table. Don't worry about those things. Don't get so caught up in those things and wondering where tomorrow's needs are going to come from, where the supply for tomorrow's needs. Don't get so caught up in that that you neglect the things of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put God first. Put His work first. His ministry first. Get in the battle. And He'll take care of all those things. You know, it might be that a job is hindering you from serving the Lord or hindering you from spending time with in fellowship with Him. And it may be that in following God, you have to change jobs. It may be that in following God, you end up with a job that doesn't pay as well, but it gives you the opportunity to serve God in ways that you couldn't otherwise, and you know that God wants you to. And you need to be careful about this. Obviously, we need to exercise some common sense, but we do need to be led by the Spirit of God, and we have to consider God, even in all those decisions. Paul would write to the Colossian church, "If you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth." Fight the battle. And he says, mortify your members, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Fight against the flesh. And put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. And Paul said, you know, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Fight the spiritual battle, even in your own life, against your flesh, because you're a soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. A good soldier is strengthened by the Lord. A good soldier is separated to the Lord. And then lastly, a good soldier is striving for the Lord. In other words, he fights in the battle. No man, Paul said to Timothy, that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. That word war means to serve in a military campaign, to be on active duty, to make war. For us as believers, it means that if we are warring, we are proclaiming the gospel. Where appropriate, we are refuting false teaching. We are seeking to resist sin, to battle against the flesh, to resist the world's efforts to conform us into its mold. We're fighting a battle. And I wonder sometimes, and I wonder in my own life, are we really in the battle? Does it really seem like our life is challenging because we recognize this battle that we're in? And we really are battling against our flesh and battling the temptations that come our way. Or do we just give in to those things? Do we proclaim the gospel? Or do we allow ourselves to be silenced out of fear? Where appropriate, and God gives us the opportunity, do we refute false teaching? We have to expect, as believers, that our lives are going to be characterized by conflict. Again, Paul would write to Timothy in verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier. Suffer what is bad or evil, Paul said to Timothy. Be willing to be ill-treated as a believer. And Paul would write later on in this letter, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There is conflict in preaching the gospel. Again, in chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul encouraged Timothy to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, to be willing to suffer ill treatment for the sake of the gospel. And Timothy did that. We read in Hebrews 13:23 that Timothy had been imprisoned for preaching the gospel, that Timothy was willing to suffer the afflictions of the gospel. By the way, note that Paul says to do that, verse chapter 1, verse 8, in the power of God, to allow God to enable you to suffer for the gospel's sake. But Paul told Timothy, listen, you got to expect this. We're in a battle, and it's going to cost you something to preach the gospel. It may cost you your job. And by the way, I think this goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. Why do we say that as preachers? It goes without saying, but we're going to say it, so just say it. But anyway, obviously we have to be gracious and we have to be careful about our witness on the job. Obviously you don't want to use company time to be witnessing to somebody and robbing your employer of time that you're supposed to be giving to him. And you don't want to be beating people over the head and browbeating them with the gospel. So we have to be gracious and careful. But you know, even when you do it right, the fact that you're willing to stand for your faith and to proclaim the gospel, it might cost you a job. It might cost you some friends. It might cost you some comfort with your family because they have not embraced that gospel. And so when you share it with them, they're uncomfortable. Matter of fact, it's in that context that Jesus challenged us as His followers that we are to love Him more than we love our family. That we would be willing to proclaim the gospel even if it puts us at odds with family members. And again, you have to be careful. Don't browbeat people. Don't be ungracious in the way that you do that. But there's a cost often to proclaiming the gospel. And Jesus said in John 15, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. One of the reasons that unbelievers don't like the gospel is because it exposes their sin. All of a sudden, I have to come to grips with the fact that I am a sinner, that the way that I'm living is not pleasing to God, and that one day I'm going to answer to Him for my life. And so it's a battle to proclaim the gospel, but are we in that battle? Or are we just being silent because it's easier? It is easier. It's easier not to open your mouth and share the gospel. But that's not what God has called us to. And we have to understand that when we share the gospel, that there will be times when it will bring us into conflict with people. That's just the nature of it. We're in a battle. And there is a conflict with our flesh. Galatians 5:17 says, "The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Paul told us to put on the whole armor of God, that we can withstand the assaults of the devil. There's a battle that should be taking place every day of our lives. A battle against sin. A battle against the flesh. A battle against Satan. Our flesh or Satan will put thoughts and ideas in our mind. That's where the battle usually most often is waged, and that's where the battle has to be won, because an act flows out of the thoughts of our heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's going on in our heart impacts what we do and how we live. And so the battle has to be fought, first of all, in the mind and in the heart, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, controlling our thinking. But how often do we fight that battle in our minds and hearts? Or how often do we just allow our sinful hearts to run away? One of the biggest areas, perhaps, that we struggle with this is in the area of worry. And things, you know, there's so much. Even what happened last Sunday. How many of you, you don't need to raise your hand, but just in your heart, answer this question. How many of you thought about, as you're coming to church this morning, it could happen here today? And there was a little bit of fear, perhaps, in your heart. And that's a natural response. But understand that, yes, we need to be cautious, but God doesn't want us to live in fear. We don't have to live with a fear, oh no, that might happen to us. We have to be aware of that, and we have to do what is prudent to try and avoid that. But we can't live in fear, and God doesn't want us to live in fear. God doesn't want us to worry. God doesn't want us to be angry. And all that is going on in our hearts, there's a battle. And we have to decide, am I going to control my thinking and bring my thinking in line with the Word of God? Or am I just going to let my flesh and my mind just run wild and contrary, my thinking contrary to the Word of God? See, it's a battle. And I've got to fight it every day of my life. But how many days go by and you get to the end of the day, you don't really feel like you've been in a battle because you really weren't trying to be victorious? There is a conflict that we face with false teaching. In Acts 20, as Paul was speaking to the Ephesian elders, he said to them, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, things contrary to the truth of God, to draw away disciples after them." It's a constant battle that we face. It's interesting, you read the Word of God, and I mean, just as soon as the gospel is proclaimed, there are some who come along and preach another gospel. And the battle begins for the purity of the gospel. And unfortunately, sometimes the very ones that we have to oppose might be members of our own church. You know, the Apostle Paul had to withstand Peter to the face, because Peter, though not speaking another gospel, by his actions was suggesting that, hey, it's grace and works, because he was trying to live under the law to please the Jews and then live as if the law didn't matter when he was among the Gentiles. And it was confusing, and Paul had to challenge him because he was confusing the gospel. And I'm sure it wasn't a pleasant thing. We read that and it just seems so straightforward. I don't know that it was a pleasant thing for Paul, but the purity of the gospel was at stake. And so Paul stood up against Peter. and Peter would acknowledge his error. But there's conflict against false teaching. And so again, the question is, are we doing our duty in the Lord's battle? Are we engaged in the battle? Are we striving against sin, resisting sin, temptation, again, controlling our mind and our mouth? Are we battling our flesh so that we're reading the Bible and spending time in prayer? That's another one of those battles you'll have with your flesh, because your flesh says, don't pray. I mean, you know, there's so many things you've got to do. They're more important, or at least seem like it at the moment. Just stop and spend some time talking to God. But to read your Bible, to pray, even to battle against those sinful tendencies in your life. Are we witnessing as the Lord gives us opportunity and upholding the truth? By the way, one of the ways that we do that, Paul told Timothy, the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. One of the ways that we battle against false teaching is by passing along the truth from generation to generation and giving them a pure gospel and the pure truth of God. We oppose false teaching by supporting the pastor and church leadership when they have to take a stand for truth, when there is a problem in the church where some false doctrine is creeping in. And by the way, it creeps in. Satan is not dumb enough just to full bore in our face with false teaching. He brings it in slyly. Men come in privately and teach and preach things that are contrary to the truth of God. And sometimes the leadership has to stand up and say, this is wrong. And it needs the support of the church to say, you know what, we understand the importance of preserving a pure gospel, and we back you as you take that stand because it is necessary. And there will be times, even for all of us, where we might have to refute unbiblical thinking, where we're talking to somebody. It might be another believer, it might be an unbeliever. But something is said that is not biblical. And again, we have to be careful and gracious in how we do this, but there are times when we might have to oppose somebody, correct somebody, challenge something that's being said because it is not right, it is not biblical. It takes a lot of discernment to know when and how to do that. But there are times when it's necessary because we're in a battle. We have been chosen by God to be a soldier. And if you know Christ as Savior today, you are a soldier of Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ as Savior today, then God holds out the gospel to you. If you'll admit your sin and believe that Christ died for you and ask God to forgive you and save you, He'll do that. And we would love to help you to understand that message of the gospel and receive Christ as your Savior today. But you are a soldier if you know Christ as Savior, but are you a good soldier? Are you in the battle, striving for the Lord? Are you separated to the Lord so that really He is first and His work is first in your life, and you are willing to and maybe even have made some sacrifices to keep Him first and to be involved in His ministry and in His work? Or are you receiving strength from Him, not trying to do the battle in your own strength, but understanding your need of Him? Maybe this morning as you've listened to this message, the Holy Spirit has pinpointed some area of your life particularly where you're maybe not being a soldier, not fighting the way that you need to. And this morning you just need to say, Lord, forgive me for my laziness, for my unwillingness to fight the battle, and Lord, help me to get in the battle. Give me the strength. Enable me. Lord, so stir my heart that I can't help but fight the battle for Your honor and glory. Let's stand together for prayer.